Myself and Fielding had missed the train, but after some distress, Aziz took charge of the situation and led the two English women around the Marabar Caves. The first cave was tolerably convenient. They skirted the puddle of water and then climbed up over some unattractive stones, the sun crashing on their backs. Bending their heads, they disappeared one by one into the interior of the hills. The small black hole gaped, and they were sucked in like water down a drain. Marabar Cave had been horrid as far as Mrs. Moore was concerned, for she had nearly fainted in it. She tried to regain the entrance tunnel, but an influx of villagers swept her back. In the dark, she didn't know who touched her. She hit her head. For an instant, she went mad, hitting and gasping like a fanatic. For not only did the crush and stench alarm her, there was also a terrifying echo. As each person emerged, Mrs. Moore looked for the villain, but none was there, and she realized that she had been among the mildest of individuals whose only desire was to honor her, and that the naked pad was a poor little baby astride its mother's hip. Nothing evil, but Mrs. Moore had not enjoyed herself. Aziz and Adela both emerged smiling, and she did not want him to think his treat was a failure, so smiled too.
Dr. Aziz says this isn't a good cave, the best on the Kawadol.
I don't think I shall go on to there. I dislike climbing.
Let's sit down again in the shade.
But that'll disappoint him so. He's taken so much trouble. You should go on.
Are you sure? Dr. Aziz? Mrs. Moore is tired. She'd like us to rest here. She wants us to go on without her.
Certainly, Miss Quested. So you and I will go together and leave Mrs. Moore here?
I'm sorry not to come too, but I'm a poor walker.
Dear Mrs. Moore, what does anything matter so long as you are my guests? I'm very glad you are not coming. Which sounds strange, but you are treating me with true frankness as a friend.
Yes, I am your friend. So, may I make another suggestion? Don't let so many people come with you this time. I think you might find it more convenient.
Exactly. We shall just take one guide further on. You all here and look after Mrs. Moore.
Yes.
Bring a deck chair. Hurry up.
Yes. Yellow.
Is that all right, Mrs. Moore?
Oh, quite right. Now enjoy yourselves, and when you come back, you can tell me all about it. I shall sit here quietly and write a letter.
Shall we?
Dear Ralph. Dear Stella.
She stopped and looked at the queer valley and their feeble invasion of it. Her eye rose from it to the entrance tunnel. No. She did not wish to repeat that experience. The crush and the smells she could forget, but the echo began in some indescribable way to undermine her hold on life.
Pathos, piety, courage. They exist but are identical. And so is filth. Everything exists. Nothing has value.
Suddenly, at the edge of her mind, religion appeared. Poor little talkative Christianity. And she knew that all its divine words from let there be light to it is finished only amounted to om. She sat motionless with horror. Miss Quested, Aziz, and a guide continued the slightly tedious expedition. They did not talk much, for the sun was getting high. Miss Quested was in a world of her own, thinking about her future.
Simla next week. Agra and October see Mrs. Moore comfortably off from Bombay.
I hope we find some cave paintings soon.
What about love? Ronnie and I don't actually love each other. Not to love the man I'm going to marry.
Do I take you too far?
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Here, take my hand. This part is quite steep.
Thank you.
Name's up, sir. Ah,
hi,
Dr. Aziz. Are you married?
Yes, indeed. Do come and see my wife.
Aziz felt it more artistic to have his wife alive for a moment.
She is not in Chandrapur just now.
And have you children?
Yes, indeed. Three.
What a handsome little Oriental he is. His wife and children are probably beautiful too. It does make a difference in a relationship. Beauty, thick hair, a fine skin.
Have you one wife or more than one?
I beg your pardon?
The question shocked the young man very much. He let go of her hand. Quite a number of caves were at the top of the track. He plunged into one of them to recover his balance. She followed at her leisure, quite unconscious that she had said the wrong thing, and not seeing him, she also went into a cave. He lit a cigarette and inhaled deeply to steady his nerves.
Damn the English, even at their best. Where is Miss Quested?
No, sir.
Which cave did she go to?
I thought she was with you.
She isn't. You should have kept her in sight. It was your duty. 12 caves here. How am I to know which one she's in? Which is the cave I was in? Whose car?
On the road from Chandrapur.
Miss Quested! There's a car down there! Where is she? Ya Allah, Miss Quested is lost! Miss Quested! Miss Quested!
Shouting is useless because a Maraba cave can hear no sound but its own.
Aziz wiped his head and sweat began to stream inside his clothes.
Miss Quested!
The place was so confusing.
Miss Quested!
He tried to go into every cave, but he never knew where he had started.
Ya Allah, come here.
Huzoor?
Call yourself a guide? Good for nothing, lazy, useless. This is the end of my career. My guest is lost. Miss Quested!
Aziz had a sudden glimpse of Miss Quested far down the gully. Only a glimpse, but there she was, quite plain, framed between the rocks and speaking to another lady.
Oh, Miss Quested. Not lost after all. Thank goodness. A lucky sugar. Must get back to dear Mrs. Moore. Oh, field glasses. She must have dropped them. Had a broken strap or hoe.
Down in the plain, he heard the car starting. However, he could not catch a second glimpse, so he scrambled down the valley face of the hill towards Mrs. Moore. Soon the colour and confusion of his little camp appeared, and in the midst of it, he saw an Englishman's topi, and beneath it, oh, joy.
Mr. Fielding! Mr. Fielding! 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 Oh, I have so wanted you!
Hello there. Aziz, my dear fellow.
How did you get here?
Excellent Miss Derrick. I met her by chance at the post office and she said, why haven't you gone to Marabar? When I told her that I'd missed the train, she offered to run me here.
Where is she?
I left her with a car and chauffeur while I found Cap. Car couldn't get up the hill.
Oh, but we can send the elephant down to get her.
Mr. Fielding.
Good morning again.
Have you seen Miss Quested?
No, I've only just arrived. Where is she?
Oh, she's all right. She went down to see Miss Derrick.
Are you sure?
Hey, Suno, take the elephant down to the road and escort the memsahibs up here.
Mr. Fielding, sir.
Hold on. And that's Miss Derrick's chauffeur coming up. Let me go and find out what he wants.
Mr. Fielding, sir. Memsahib is in the garden. What's going on, Dr. Aziz?
Everything is fine, Mrs. Moore. Time for a picnic now.
Miss Derrick's chauffeur's just informed me that she's gone back with the other young lady to Chandrapur. Sent him to say so.
The man's made a mistake. Why would she leave without saying anything?
We were having an interesting talk with our guide, then the car was seen, so she decided to go down to her friend. Let me see to our breakfast. You must be hungry, Mr. Fielding. Excuse me while I make the arrangements.
Something's not right.
Miss Derrick is most unsatisfactory and restless. Always in a hurry, always wanting something new.
Yeah, she wasn't in a hurry when I left her. There was no question of returning to Chandrapur. It looks to me as if Miss Quested's the one in a hurry.
Adela? She's never been in a hurry in her life.
Say, Mrs. Moore, are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Mrs. Moore was not fine. The echo that had begun in the cave was still in her head and in some indescribable way began to undermine her hold on life. So the cavalcade ended, partly pleasant, partly not. The train arrived, pushing its burning throat over the plain, and the 20th century took over from the 16th. Mrs. Moore entered her carriage. The men went to theirs, adjusted the shutters, turned on the electric fan, and tried to get some sleep.
Aziz, exactly where and how did you leave Miss Quested? How did she get down? It's covered with cactuses. I suppose the guide helped her.
Oh, rather, most helpful.
Is there a path off the top?
Millions of paths, my dear fellow.
But you saw them get down safe?
Yes, she and Miss Derrick, and go off in the car.
And then the guide came back to you?
Exactly. I see you are worrying on my account, but really, I don't mind.
No, I do worry on your account. I consider they have been impolite. She had no right to dash away from your party, and Miss Derrick had no right to abet her. Goodness knows what this picnic will have cost.
Shh, my dear chap, don't mention that part. Hundreds and hundreds of rupees. The complete account would be too awful. My friend's servants have robbed me right and left, and as for an elephant, she apparently eats gold.
As the train left the Marabars, their nasty little cosmos disappeared and gave place to the Marabar seen from a distance. Finite and rather romantic.
Chandrapur.
The expedition is over.
Dr. Aziz, it is my highly painful duty to arrest you.
Don't be ridiculous.
Sir, these are my instructions.
On what charge do you arrest him?
I am under instructions not to say.
Come along, Aziz, old man. Nothing to fuss about. Some blunder.
Dr. Aziz, will you kindly come?
Got my children and my name.
Sorry, nothing of the sort. Put your hat straight and take my arm.
Okay.
I'll see you through. Come on.
They emerged into the midday heat, arm in arm. The station was seething. Passengers and porters rushed out of every recess. Many government servants, more police. Ronnie escorted Mrs. Moore.
Fielding! Fielding!
What?
I need to speak to you, please, urgently.
And before they could make their way through the chaos, Fielding was called off by the authoritative tones of Mr. Turton.
Fielding!
And Aziz
no! Fielding!
Went on to prison alone.
Fielding!